wonder where that scripture is. Not trying to. Where is that engraven in the palm of his hand? It's interesting. It's in the Bible, obviously, but there's another one that I thought about while you were singing that. He sang a song about you this morning. It says so in the Old Testament. He got up this morning and sang a song about you. I'll give you the verse later. I can't remember where it was. But I wonder what song he sang about you this morning. Interesting. All right. Thank you. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look, take our Bibles. We're going to turn and look. We're going to talk a little bit more about salt. Not much. But we're going to move over to the light, trying to share some things about what God says in His Word about being light. And last Sunday, I thought about the book Salt. And one thing I want to mention before we move on, salt does not stop the decayingness, but it helps slow it down where people can hear the gospel. I thought you and I are to be salt. You say, well, we live in a dark, decaying world. That's true. But if we can be salt, then that slows that decaying down, that process where people can hear the gospel, hearts are changed, lives are changed, and come to know Christ. Because when I think about being salt, we've been salt for all these years, and yet our world's still decaying. Well, we must continue being salt. Don't let that bother you, because that's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5. And so these challenges, and especially the Beatitudes and what ought to be our attitude, all through these passages are the words of Jesus. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 13. I want to read down through verse 16 at least, okay? Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor or its tastefulness, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, I talked to you last Sunday a little bit about our purpose. Our purpose is His purpose, or His purpose is, how do you say, our purpose. It hasn't changed. The purpose of God is to reach people for Christ. That's His purpose. That's why we're here. People said, well, we're here just to be saved. No, not necessarily. If that was the case, why didn't, when you got saved, He just take you on to heaven, if that was His goal? I do know in Luke 19, He says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's His purpose in coming. It wasn't to show His miracles. He performed miracles from creation. So the Lord's purpose is our purpose, okay? You'll see in a few minutes, you know, He's light, but we're to be light, all right? He was salt. He was the best kind, the saving salt. But the purpose of God is critical, because we must keep that in front. I remember Rick Warren years ago, purpose-driven life. And then purpose-driven church. Well, that's true. And I'm not trying to say that this morning as such, but I want you to keep in mind the purpose of God. And I wrote down some things. I thought His method has changed a little bit. I mean, we've got screens and sound systems, and you've got nice church buildings. And so the methods have changed over the years in reaching people. But the message is the same, okay? We cannot change the message. We don't want to dilute it down, water it down. The message is that Jesus is the only way. Jesus saves. Amen. But what we want to see is, though the methods have changed, the message is still the same. Jesus said in John 20 and 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. I believe that's why we're here. I believe we're here to worship God. That's true. But I believe our main focus would be to reach people for Christ. Now, there are many ways to do that, as long as it involves Jesus. I used to hear my pastor, Ray Maddox, Cedar Grove Church. He said if a dog came to town preaching Jesus, he'd support him. Well, What I'm trying to say is that Jesus Christ is the answer. We know that. We must not forget that. We must not believe that anything other than Jesus or anyone is the answer to life's problems, people's problems. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, in Matthew 5, he's given us a definition, and he's trying to help us compose the church. He talks to the believers. Ye, that's us, or you are the salt of the earth. So we talked about salt last Sunday morning. Salt is our influence. It has the power to change people. It has the power to help them see their decaying part. But we saw also the possibility that the salt can lose its savor. We don't want to go there. We don't want to be no count. Jesus said, you're good for nothing. I don't want that to be in my life. I don't want to be a good for nothing believer. I know you don't either. So we looked at the salt. We looked at the predicted end of the salt. Cast down, trodden under the foot of men. I made a statement last Sunday morning. I don't know who said it, but I thought, wow, God has no use for the salt, and man doesn't either. So you're useless. With that being said, I want us to move from what he talks about as far as our influence to responsibility. Your responsibility is to shine your light. Verse 14, he says this, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. I want you to make a note of that word. We're going to come to it a little later on. Lampstand. Interesting. I have given them light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, notice, your good works, but not glorify you, obviously. They may see your good works, but then glorify your Father in heaven. So, first of all, Christ is light. John 1. Now, I want you to look up these verses. So, let's take a few moments and do a little Bible study. Turn to the book of John, chapter 1, would you? John, chapter 1. Let's just see, first of all, that we know that Christ is the light. Christ is the light. John chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 4 through 9. John chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness. Notice now, this is us, really. Of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, this was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That's just what we said. Keep that in mind. I think it's a constant thing. I think it's something probably need to be preached about every Sunday or every other Sunday. You and I are to be witness of the light. That's our responsibility. That's why we're here. Now, we are not the one who saves people. People say, well, let your light shine. And well, that's true, but they're not saved by our light. They're saved by His, okay? And so keep that in mind. Christ is the light. All through the book of John, and I just wrote down several verses. Let me just give you a couple more. John 8 and verse 12. Over and over again, wow, he reminds us of these words. Listen to verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. His light leads to life. We know that. John was a light. He was to bear witness of the light. And so you and I are to realize that Christ is the light. John chapter 9, verse 5, and I could go on, but I want to mention this one. This is a really powerful verse. All of them are, obviously. Look what it says. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. So first of all, Christ is the light. We've got that settled, okay? We know that. We believe that. So then how in the world could you and I then be like him? Well, when his Spirit comes in and dwells inside of us, he empowers us to shine forth as lights in this world. Without him, we could do nothing. With him, all things are possible. So it is an amazing thing to think that I have a responsibility to shine my light as Christ did his. Christ is the light. Second thing, we're called to the same mission as Christ was. Now, I couldn't die for you. If I did, it wouldn't save you. I cannot be buried and rise again. I understand that. But he left us here. He left you and I here that we might be light. The same mission. I looked at the verses this week and it was amazing. I could have filled up this paper, honestly, about light, light, light. Susan's played that song, This Little Light of Mine. Well, all through scriptures, we're challenged as his disciples to be light of the world. John 14, verse 12. Let me read that one to you. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the words that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. I cannot imagine that the Lord would choose me or you. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but think about it. That's who he chose. He could have chose those that were scholarly, and thank God some of them are. He could have chose those that were strong, and thank God some are. But mainly, he chose in the beginning 12 men, 12 unusual men. He chose you and I. All through the scripture, it talks about who he chose. He did not choose those that were wise. He chose those that were ignorant. And I think the bottom line is this. Don't elevate yourself to any point where any attention comes to you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. Do never elevate yourself to the point where you begin to take credit. He said that they may see your good works, okay, but then glorify your Father in heaven. I think that's true today. We see a lot of people taking credit for things. I'm amazed at what they'll brag about. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I am to be salt and light. Now, as believers, we're to shine our light. That's obvious. You see that in Matthew chapter 5. We're to let our light so shine before men. Now, not that we may be seen. The light does not shine to be seen. I love this statement. But to make others to see. So, to see our good deeds, not you. To glorify our Father, not you. So, there we are. So, as believers, look up here. We're to glorify the Lord. Now, if he wants you to have any credit, he'll give it to you. If he wants to pat you on the back or brag on you, that's great. I don't think there's anything wrong with bragging on people. You know, I enjoyed that message or that Sunday school lesson or that song. There's nothing wrong with that. But hopefully, all of those bring honor and glory to God. Amen? That's critical. If they don't, it's the wrong thing. Jesus begins to deal with us. He begins to talk about glorifying the Father. Now, as believers, we're to be filled with light. We're to be, as Scriptures teach us, a city on a hill. We're to be a beacon lighting the way. I look at it this way. How do you people know what conduit pipe is? It's like any pipe that water could flow through or wires could go through, energy, would be just a pipe. It's not much in the pipe, but through that pipe is energy or water or fresh things. And I look at it as we're just pipe. We're just a piece of pipe through which the Holy Spirit moves and flows out to be a blessing to others. Now, that's not too, I mean, you know, go around and say, hey, I'm just a piece of old pipe, okay? Well, that's all right if you have Jesus in you. We're to be a channel through which Christ flows. Now, light under a bushel is no good. Notice the verse there again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does light a lamp and put it under a basket. So we know that light under that bushel cannot shine. It cannot go out. It cannot do much good. A candle should not be hidden. Well, here we go. Put it on a candlestick. This is something I thought was interesting. Let me ask you a question, not to trick you, because I want to show you a couple of scriptures. What is a candlestick in the Bible? Anybody? In scriptures, it talks about a candlestick. What is the candlestick? Do you know? It's what? Okay. I'm not asking the right question here. Okay, in Revelation, let's just look, okay? This is a minute. Revelation chapter 1. I thought a candlestick, okay, is that I'm to be the candle, the light. But what is the candlestick? Now, this is not a doctrine, but I like it. And it is out of the Bible, and I want you to think about it. Revelation chapter 1, let's look, I think it's verse 19 or 20. So turn over to the back, and let's look, if you will, for a moment. Okay, verse 20, okay, Revelation chapter 1. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, the seven golden lampstands, or candlesticks, okay? Same thing. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. But notice, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are what? Seven churches. Now, my best method of interpretation is literal. I'm just going to take that literal, not figurative or symbolic or anything else. I'm just going to, if John said those lampstands, those candlesticks are churches, let's keep that in mind and think about this. It is impossible for you and I to, apart from the church, to be a very good light. I want to park here just a minute. I meet people all the time. You meet them all the time. Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. That's true. Or you don't have to do this, do that. Okay. But in order to be the most effective light you need to be, I believe you need to connect with the local church. I do. I believe in the local church. I believe it's critical. I believe that way you can brag on the Lord through your church, the people in the church, and so on. So, don't put your candle under a bushel. Put it up on a candlestick. So let me say this, a word of encouragement. I know you're here today. I ought to be preaching to those that are not here. But you're here, so you can pass it on, okay? The church is critical. We live in a day where people don't think much of the church. They don't. We understand that. We see that. I mean, it's like, well, just go out here and do anything you want to. It's not important. Well, it is important. And I'm not going to give you the scriptures and there are many, you know, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the church is critical. Jesus is coming for who? He's coming for the church. Now, not that the name implies the certain church. I mean, you've got the church of God, the church of Christ. You've got the church of this and the church of that. That's not what he's talking about. But I believe the devil's lie is this. Men can live just as good a life outside the church as in it. I believe that's a lie. I believe that's a lie that we've swallowed. So I want us to make much of the church. I want us to make much of the church being the candlestick out of which you can shine your light. Because I want you to believe that. I want you to see that. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This is all introduction. I've got 9 points today, so I'm just kidding. Okay, stay with me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whosoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I want to say that the church is vital for you and I to shine your light. If you go apart from the church and try to go out here on your own. Now, I understand there are charities and other organizations. But most of what we do today ought to be done through the church. Now, if you have other people that go to another church, that's fine. I'm not talking about just this church. But I see a problem here. I don't see a lot of salt. I don't see a lot of people being light. Because they'll say, oh, I've been living here for 20 years. And well, where do y'all go to church? Oh, well, we're still looking. Really? Still looking, 20 years. How hard is that? You must be looking for one that's perfect, and if you found it, you couldn't join it. Amen? You can. I mean, oh, well, there's all kinds of hypocrites about your church. I said, yeah, why don't you come join them, okay? I mean, don't let them stand in your way of heaven. Amen? So the church is critical. That's where we publicly profess faith in the Lord Jesus, okay? Usually, most of you were saved probably in a church. How many of you were saved in a church meeting of some sort? Let's see. Look at that. Okay. Now, I know a man that said he was saved watching wrestling on TV, and I doubt that. I just wondered. I don't know about that. But he did. He said he was watching wrestling and got under conviction. Well, thank God. There are people that are saved in Billy Graham crusades and tent meetings and side of the road. Maybe you were saved at home or VBS. But the church is critical. We publicly profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we follow him in believer's baptism. That's a public statement. We're going to have one of those hopefully in a few weeks. And so that's how you can be light. That's how, one way, you can shine your light. And then you go and say, you have your Bible and you hopefully attend a Sunday school class or something of that nature, Bible studies, and you're not ashamed of the Lord because he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So guys, let me encourage you. Now you say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir here. Well, that's okay. The fact is, the devil has lied to us so much because we need to keep influencing a decaying world. We do. We cannot give up. We cannot quit. But when I saw that lampstand, I never thought about it. I thought, well, a lampstand, okay, put it, don't hide it under a bushel. Put it up on a lampstand. I believe the lampstand is the church. And most of what we want to do is through the local church. Now, if we want to involve somebody else or join, you know, get together with other churches, that's great. So please realize that the church is vitally important. In Romans 10, he talks about being a sinner and he talks about those things. But I thought, what a statement. Let me read that again. I tried to quote that earlier and I may not have done a great job, but let me just look at that. Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, here it is, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I think he's just trying to say, say so. Say so. Don't be ashamed to say so. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm a member of so-and-so church. That's where we attend. Terry and I were in a restaurant up here in Knoxville. I forget which one. They're all great. You know, I don't know. Especially along with somebody else's buying. I don't care where we go. I have no problem with that. But we were in a restaurant. And I sat down and I was waiting on the food. And there was a guy sitting here and he looked like a preacher. Now, that's dangerous. But this is being a preacher. I always look at people and say, I wonder if they're a preacher. Well, this guy had on a suit and a tie, and you've seen him, you know. And he was sitting there, and he was really nice. And I looked at him, and I just had to. You know, I know you probably wouldn't, but I said, brother, I said, are you a preacher? He said, no, sir. I'm a worshiper. Stay with me. It hit me. He said, I used to say I was a believer, but I don't use that much anymore. Now, I'm not against that term. I like the word believer. It's in the Bible. But he said, I'm a worshiper. Because do you know, guys, that the devil's a believer? Do you realize that for a minute? Think about that. So if you say to somebody you're a believer, then you have to explain that. But he said, I'm a worshiper. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's pretty clear. And I like that. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out here today and change your whole repertoire of, and you have to talk differently. But I want you to think on that. We worship here in the house of God. This is literally a building. Amen? It is. It's just a building. Thank God for that. But this is not the church he's talking about. When we go out, we want to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. I know I'm saved on my way to heaven. And I attend so-and-so church, whatever that may be. By the way, all Baptists are not going to heaven, okay? You might think if you're a member of a Baptist church, you're definitely going. That may not be true. So be careful about that one. But I know this. Jesus talks about being proud of him and bragging on him and letting your light shine. So let's say this. There's two things I want to say when closing. And it just hit me. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. That's obvious. You know, you think about that. But second of all, don't be ashamed of the church. Don't be ashamed that you go to church. You know how many people? And they say, oh, well, we're really not members anywhere. I think that's poor testimony. I really do. I know the percentages are here in Knoxville. Terry and I are attending the church out on Alco Highway. I believe Holly Miller said at one time, here in the Knoxville, I don't know if it's city limits or Knoxville and the county included, 10% of the people were in the house of God on average Sunday. I want you to think about that. 10%. You multiply that times the number of people just in the city of Knoxville. That's a lot of folks out of church. I don't know how far you travel, but Terry and I travel a little ways coming down the interstate. It is amazing, the people. And I don't believe all of them are going to church either. Do you? No. So guys, we're to be salt. That means we're to keep influence in the decaying world. We're to be light. We are to allow our testimony, and by the way, everyone has one. It's either a good one or a bad one. Everyone has a testimony. It's a good one or a bad one. But here it's the testimony of good works in order to point others to the Father. And both are needed in this world in which we live. I'm convinced that many times we lack keeping our lives right with God. We don't take that serious. We should. That salt, and then that way we're able to shine forth greater as lights. So please, please, don't ever be ashamed that you go to church, that you're a member of a church, and brag on it. Because see, we're just people. We're just people like they are. We know we have a need, but we know that need can be met here. And I'm thankful that Jesus came, and he died for the church, he rose again, he's coming back for the church. I'm thankful I'm a part of it, aren't you? I'm so thankful that I'm part of the church, not just this church, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus ever again. I used to be. That's called backslidden. I've been there. I've been ashamed because they said, oh, you're a Christian? You're a believer? Yeah. So I didn't say anything, but don't do it. So get your life right with God. Keep your life right with God. The Word of God will cleanse you, it'll purify you, and then allow your light to shine through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together, okay? Simple message. You've heard this before, but we need to be reminded. You're salt, okay? That's influence. Salt, you must influence. Somebody's going to influence them. And then your light, that's your responsibility. To shine before the Lord Jesus Christ. That people may see our good works. And what? Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Father, I pray this morning you spoke to hearts. God, do not allow us to take this lightly. This message I know was for many of the folks here. I know it touched my heart. God, you spoke to me about my testimony, daily testimony. My life before Christ, I'm saddened about that. But my life after Christ, I should not be, and indeed not be, because the Lord has given me the power to become the sons of God, given me the power to have a testimony, and through the local church, let my light shine. And I'm thankful for that. I pray we'll continue to do that till Jesus comes, in whose name we pray. Amen.